COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to Glad We Had This Chat with me, Caroline Hirons. It's your one-stop shop for all things skincare, beauty, and beyond. My guest this week is a multifaceted talent with a successful career in music, TV, and now entrepreneurship. Not only is she the proud owner of the award-winning children's skincare brand My Little Coco, she is also a best-selling children's author and a thriving and fabulous TV presenter. Please welcome to the pod the wonderful Rochelle Humes.
Hi, Rochelle.
Hello, you.
I know we just start talking the minute we sit down, but yeah. I thought I should say hello and actually start something.
We all have to do that, don't we? Then we pretend we've not seen each other.
Yeah, yet. I haven't seen you. Oh my God, you just walked in.
Yeah.
No, we haven't had a gossip.
We haven't just put the world to rights.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
I'm like, I've been wanting to talk to you for so long. I mean, we see each other, don't we, in passing and this morning and whatnot.
Going in one thing and out of another.
Yeah.
When did you last do this morning?
At the start of the year, and I'm back in the summer.
Oh, nice.
Yes, I've got a couple of weeks. I think
it's a lovely studio.
Do you know what?
It's a lovely team.
So it is really a family, isn't it? Yeah. It's one that I love being able to like be in and then dip
and then
out
walk away
again.
From.
And then, yeah, it's really, it's kind of a, it's a nice working sort of.
Doesn't really feel like work.
It doesn't, does it? And I can't, especially when we get to do fun items like yourself and things that I'm really interested in. Mm. I'm like diving in, taking the freebies.
Shout out to Fleur in the green room.
Yes, I mean, does she or does she not make? I'm not really a toast person, but when I'm at this morning, I'll have a cup of tea
and toast
and a slice of toast with butter and strawberry jam because she just makes it like no other.
And you don't really have a choice. Toast, babe. Toast.
No. That, well, that's what you're getting. Mm. Yeah. Although she started ordering me a Joe and the juice, and I just can't. I'm like, oh. So I take it every time. She's like, do you want a green shield? I'm like, yes, please, Fleur.
Wow.
I know. She
Fleur delivers.
Yeah, I've been there for a few
years
now.
Nice work, Fleur.
I've won her over.
I think Fleur should be in the Wall of Fame.
I mean, she should be in the hallway. I would happily.
Right outside the green room.
Yeah, I'd happily take my picture down to give it to Fleur.
I'm so going to use this as a clip.
She deserves it.
So when you started, mm-hmm. did you have any idea you'd end up being sort of the sort of multitasking entrepreneur, presenter, I mean, everything that you're doing now?
No.
Bearing in mind that when you started, you were how old?
I started in S Club Juniors at 11, almost 12.
11. How was that?
I mean,
a moment for S Club. How was that?
Do you know what? It's so funny because I don't remember a lot of it. Mm. We've got actually a little group chat on WhatsApp, S Club Juniors, and like
that's going to send my lot wild.
Oh, really?
Like, oh God,
yesterday they were all chatting and like talking about, and a few of us was like, "Is it just me or I have no recollection
have
of the
they got
conversation
kids? Could it
be
baby
talking
brain?
About." No. I'm
my
like,
memory was shot after I had kids.
But do you really remember everything that when you were 11, 12, 13?
JR being shot, things like that, and concerts I went to.
There you go. So like little stories that sometimes people talk about, or because obviously I was so young then, and then full circle when I'll be doing like appearances on TV shows, they'll be like, I actually had you, I looked after you when you were like 13. And I'm like, oh my gosh, no way. But I don't remember. But what I do remember is that I just had the best time. I like begged my mum to let me do it because we went for an audition and it wasn't actually to be in a group. It was to perform at Wembley Arena, a one-off. I watched it on CBBC.
Cool.
So I entered, and it was like a one-off audition to perform for S Club 7 that were going on tour, and it was like to perform at Wembley to sing a song, and it wasn't for a group, it was just for one person to do it. So I entered, and then it got whittled down and whittled down, and then I remember Simon Fuller came in, and he said, this is the final, like, I think we thought at the time it was like the final 10 that were like, have been whittled down out of thousands of kids. And then he was like, we actually want to make a junior-esque. And I literally remember being sat on my mum's lap and literally whispering to her, if you don't let me do this, I will never talk to you again. Because I just thought she'd be like, no, you've got school.
You're not doing that,
you've
got school.
Yeah, and she did. She let me. And we were kind of just, we had the best time. We were so well looked after. Like, there's no, like,
that's good
stories
to hear.
Of, yeah, there's no stories of anything other than that. And I know that a lot of people that did that kind of child star route do have some kind of horror stories to tell, but I think our parents were super involved, and probably at some points that probably kind of annoyed the management and the label, but we were so well protected that then fast forward when I went on to join the Saturdays, I remember being really shocked at like the amount of work that was involved.
Yeah.
Because we were so sheltered, so we'd do like a few hours a day, then do some schooling and or vice versa, and then that was it. So we were so well protected that when I was like a big woman in the Saturdays, I was like, bloody hell, these hours are long. Where's my chaperone?
I used to do treatments backstage at the Brits, and a couple of years in a row we had Little Mix.
Yes.
And we would do massage and stuff, and those girls were always exhausted.
Yeah.
Exhausted. We were so tired. They turned it on the minute they went on stage, they were on. But
that's the adrenaline, and that's the like passion in you. But
they were dead on their feet. They work you hard.
Yeah. And you get really good at like taking a nap in the back of a Viano, or like sleep, like you get really good at that instant sleep. But yeah, it's kind of when I entered the Saturdays, I was like, wow, now the real work begins.
And how old were you then?
18 when we...
Still so young.
Yeah, still young. When we... we hadn't launched at that time, but that was when we'd sort of started. And I think it was like a year or so after that. Maybe, 20 maybe.
And how long did the Saturdays go for before you...
Until we sort of called it a day. I want to say it was like when Alaya was like one. She's just turned 11, so like 10 years ago, yeah.
Wow. I mean, where's the time go?
I have no idea. And we kind of never really said, like, that's
never again.
It, done.
Yeah.
We were just like, should we just put this on pause for a bit? I think we got to the point where we'd had an album, had a single, everyone had sort of started to... We were really welcoming of, like, you know, Frankie had been asked to sing on a single of a band that she loved, and we were like, do it. Or I'd got asked to host something, and we were quite welcoming of us doing our own individual projects. But then I think we all started to do a little bit more, and we were like, actually, we kind of want to explore this for a bit. And then we were like, let's just put it on ice for a bit and see where we are. And then, of course, you all do your own separate things. And then it's like even impossible for us to get a dinner in, you know, like, because we're just we have five different diaries. And
then
like,
kids.
And kids and partners and everything else that comes with it. So then you kind of... We're like, we must get a dinner in soon. We need a cocktail. And it's like been a while. But people always ask, do you think you'll do it again? And it's really, it's one of those things that we always say, never say never, but not a conversation that we have actually had.
Now. Yeah.
No, yeah.
I mean, you could have just sat on your laurels and been like, oh, this is quite nice. Married a man. I'm good.
I know.
But you've kind of gone even, I mean, have you ever been busier?
No. And do you know what
I do? And why start one business when you can start 55?
I know. And I do have... I feel like you're like this, though.
I am.
You can relate. But I have those days where I just think, why didn't I just, you know, chill? Mm. Like, yesterday was one of those days, was like quite a testing one. Mm. I was like, why don't I just sort of, you know, stay at home again?
Why didn't I just relax
for
a bit? Why
didn't
have
I do
kids,
that?
Relax.
Yeah.
My brain would have just.
Yeah. And I found being a mum is my favourite thing in the world and like something that comes so naturally to me. But without having a career, I don't think, for me personally, I'd be a great mum because I'd be really frustrated.
Yeah.
For me, my most productive work, which is bizarre, happens not long after I've had a baby because I've got that downtime and I'm at home and I'm feeding and I'm I say chill, you know, you've got a baby. But you know what I mean? There's not really much other distraction other than being mum. And I think that's actually where some of my best ideas were born. And, you know, that's when, like, my mind gets really... If my mind rests, that's when I'm creative. But
when it very rarely has time to do so.
Exactly, because the more that you're creative, the more that you put into it, then a business happens and then your mind then can't rest because it's so busy.
When Coco comes around, how long did it take you? Because I know what it takes to build a brand. So when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's such a good idea. But, you know, it's the story of it didn't exist and I had to create it.
Yes.
But when you've got kids,
yeah,
where was the tipping point where you went, no, it actually doesn't exist and I do want to create it?
So for me, I had had a layer and I was pregnant with Valley, and I was just one of those mums that were like really kind of, I suppose, with my first, giving bougie mum energy. Like, I'm only going to do this and she's probably not going to use an iPad. I mean, after like 6 months, that changed rapidly.
Then you have number two and it's like, forget it.
Yeah, forget it, out the window. And I was really kind of researching into everything. I found it really hard where products were concerned. The high street I found quite hard in terms of hair care, in terms of moisturisers being, you know, rich enough for black skin. There was a lot of different elements that I found quite tricky, and I was shopping quite premium and everything I was using was a little bit more drying or just not what I would want. So that's sort of where my interest in it really became. And then it was when I was pregnant with Valley and she was a tiny baby that I really started sort of developing and really researching into it more, because what I didn't understand was that there were formulas that you could use on Alaya, who was then 3.5, 4 at the time, but I couldn't then use on my newborn.
Right.
And that to me, I was like, well, my 3.5-year-old is still as precious as my babe. What's in this that I can't now use it on her, but I can on her? And I didn't really understand that. So that's when the sort of journey become, and it was really for me making diverse products accessible and premium. You know, I don't want to, why do we have to go to certain
premium
shops?
Quality, but not premium cost.
Not premium cost, available, accessible, but premium aesthetic, premium, you know, that kind of real creativity that's gone into the brand and that will really draw you in. And I just didn't, there was nothing like it at the time. And it was those kind of real big players like the Johnsons and so on and so forth. And now it's really weird that we sit on a shelf above them, in fact.
And, get it in. Get it
yeah, in. I know, just, you know. But it's surreal to me, and it will always be a pinch me moment, that little idea that was born over my kitchen table. Like, my mum drew the logo.
Wow.
And like, I sent that into design and she still says she's waiting for her invoice. but yeah, you know, it's been a real labour of love. Like, it's like every photo shoot is a family affair. Like, Marv's on set blowing bubbles and it's all hands on deck. But I love it. I'm so proud of it. And I can't believe it's success, to be honest. But at the same time,
it's massive, right? I mean, it's a big brand.
It's the number one baby brand in Boots, which kind of
is number one in the UK.
Yeah, and I never take it for granted. But actually, it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And it isn't just like an airy fairy thing that I decided and it was born. And then the work, and you know yourself, the work that goes into it and how serious, like that's my job. You know, people think that that's kind of a side hustle
project,
for me. But actually, being on This Morning or being on TV is weirdly turned into like the extra thing that I do that I enjoy so much and I love. But day to day, it's not glamorous. I'm in the office. Yesterday, my day was full of legal trademarking calls that I honestly just thought, you know,
enough.
Kill me now.
Get me out of here. I say it all the time.
Yeah, it's that side that I've really had to learn and deep dive into, because I fell in love. The creative and me being creative director is what I'm here for, my love of product. But actually that other side of it and staff and people and personality management and everything else is like, it's actually not what I want it to do, but it's what I've inherited and I'm trying to be great at it and I'm trying to give it my all. But yeah, that side of it is kind of a beast.
How much of the success do you credit the product itself enough with the success of the brand Because I feel like sometimes people will say it's because you're famous.
Yeah.
Now that gets you in the door, but it doesn't keep it selling.
No.
It does not keep it selling. And the product is lovely.
Thank you.
So
yeah,
if I'm in there, I just instinctively, and I bought it, I think, before I knew it was yours.
You told me that one time. I remember you saying that to me.
And I was like, oh, that's clever.
Makes me so happy. do you know what? That's a really good point. And I think I am not silly. I know that my privilege being status, I hate the word celebrity, but you know, it is what it is. I use it. You get what I mean.
Yeah.
That definitely makes people maybe reply to an email quicker and the meeting will probably happen a bit quicker for sure. But the product has to speak for itself. And that was something that I didn't want my range, which is what people are calling it at the start. I'm like, no, it's a brand. I'm building a brand here. I didn't want it to be by Rochelle Humes. I didn't want that to be, if you follow me and you know me, you know it's mine. But I get so many comments that are like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that had anything to do with you. And it wasn't baby by Rochelle Humes. That was never what I wanted. I wanted to build a brand that would stand the test of time. And if you look at in the ingredients in the back somewhere where the address, you can see in small print that it says founded by Rochelle Humes. That was just to flatter my ego slightly. but, you know, for me, the repeat purchase says what you need it to say, doesn't it? And I think definitely on that first launch, sales will do that, won't they? Because they're like, oh, Rochelle, if you follow me, Rochelle's released this brand. But it's that thing that actually I've run out, I need more.
You've got to keep it that way.
Exactly that. So I think that's what has been so important to me this whole time. And I've sort of really, we launched the brand in February the 17th, 2020.
God, already 4 years.
Yes.
Wow.
But as we all know, a few weeks after it went on shelf, we went into a global pandemic and a lockdown. And I have never felt so ill in my life because this was like everything on the line for me here. And I was really, really concerned as to the future of the brand because we'd put so much to get. We launched with 7 SKUs and we'd put everything into getting this out, getting the support. We were lucky that we launched with Boots as a retailer because they sort of helped me forecast. So I didn't have as much risk because I sort of ordered based on what they
based on what they said they would
shift.
Order. Yeah. So, and then did they under forecast? Did you oversell?
And then we oversold. And I, being like the celebrity world that I come from, was like, bloody sold out. This is great. Everyone pop the champagne.
But then you've got empty shelves.
But I didn't know that. So this was me. So this is everything that I've learned on this journey. And I think what happened is we really sort of cultivated that customer that was, do you remember when you could only shop in Boots or a supermarket and it was such a treat because it was a pharmacy, it stayed open. So, you know, someone was looking down on me and that was the partner that we went with, obviously, as much as I love and adore them. But yeah, I just assumed that you sell out and it's just like, our job here is done. Like, when are you going to place the next order? And naively. And then it was the panic and the team were like stressed. I was like, guys, what? Like, can we not just celebrate this milestone? And it was like, okay, now we're going to have to air freight this and we can't send it by sea and the stock and it's selling and and from that day since, my feet haven't touched the ground, to be honest. And that is kind of, that was the biggest lesson, I think, for me, that I was like, actually, this is a business and the shelves can't be empty and it isn't all celebrations and letting off the confetti cannon. It's like, let's get to work. And that's
we had a great day. What's next?
What's next? And what else can we do? And what, you know, should we look at other fragrances? And this has been the best seller. And should we look at, you know, adapting this? And it kind of, that's when I was like, oh, this is the difference between me having a licensing deal, which I've had before, and actually what my previous management thought was a good idea for me. They were like, put the risk on somebody else, have a licensing deal, be the face of something. But I had that thing in me that I was like, that's not what I want. I want, this is like where my head is at. And that's sort of when the penny dropped and I was like, okay, this is the real difference now.
This is all on you.
This is actually all on me. And as I said, since that moment, it's all on me. It's all I've all I feel like I can say.
But you could have done licensing deals.
Yeah.
Which, for people who don't know, is basically you basically give people your name and you do appearances and you sort of put your name on a box and stuff and you get a percentage.
Which, by the way, works. There's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, it's
I've
how all the big
times.
Fashion houses, that's how all their fragrances are made. It's all licensing deals. It's how they, you know, it's why J-Lo and Britney Spears have made more money from fragrance than they have anything else.
And that's what I do with Next. So I license them. I have an edit with them where I don't design the clothes. I look at what they've got for that season and I go, I would wear this, I would wear that, I like this, I like that. We package it together and it's the Rochelle series.
Yeah.
And I've done that for however many years and I love it. But there's no, and if it sells out, it sells out. My royalty's great and I'm happy.
Yeah.
But obviously for Next, they would have a different problem when it sells out. And that's the problem that I have.
Yeah, and that's on them.
And that's on them. And that's where the learning curve really started for me.
What in your background do you think made you think, with each stage, it sounds like you wanted to go the extra step? No, I want to do it myself. No, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do this. I'm not just going to stop at one brand. And I want to do this. And I can present. And I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
What made you say, I can do all of this? And at the same time, and have kids. And a husband.
Yeah, I'm a bit delusional, to be honest. And
it helps.
Yeah, I think it's my toxic trait, but it's also my skill set. And I've always been taught that if you don't ask, you don't get. And shy kids don't get sweets is kind of like the motto.
Mm.
And I think it's my mum, and she's who I'm going to blame here, because she's always been the person that, like, and obviously in a different world, in a different scale, but, you know, we were kind of ready to flee the nest and she wanted to go back to school because she wanted to be a nurse. And then she decided she wanted to be a paramedic. She was a hairdresser, you know, and she's always been there. Well, why not? Why not? And I've definitely inherited that from her for sure. But I just don't ever feel... I'm really optimistic.
Yeah.
And I'm sure one day that's going to bite me in the ass, but I just think, well, we can make it work. And I'm kind of like that as a leader of a team. I'm like, well, we'll figure it out. What's the options? It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it will get me into hot water, of course. But ultimately, you can figure anything out if you put your mind to it. And that's what...
But that's the difference as well between sort of the whole thing of like going down that road of sort of sitting back, doing a licensing deal and then doing it yourself and having the responsibility is the leadership quality is stepping in and going, this is fixable, we can do this.
Yeah.
Why is everyone panicking? We'll be fine.
Yeah.
Maybe later on when you get home, you go, Jesus, what a day.
Yes.
Jesus.
That's what I do. And that's the version of me that my husband gets. Do you know, like I really am like armor on, like, come on, we've got this. And then it will be on that drive home where I'm like, fuck.
Yeah,
you
literally.
Know? Whoa. But then I don't live in that world for too long. I'm like, okay, put your big girl pants on and let's go. And I'm in that realm at the minute. I'm having to put my big girl pants on. There's a new launch that's a few weeks away and you know what it's like. Everything's set, then spanners in the works.
Yeah.
And we're in that bit at the minute. And my big girl pants... My big girl pants are firmly...
You'll be home later. You can bitch moan later. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
This episode is obviously brought to you by the SkinRocks app, your free-to-download ultimate guide to skincare made by me, all in one place, with a catalogue of over 24,000 products and over 600 expertly written articles and guides with new content daily. It really is your destination for your best skin yet. And I'm thrilled, because I can, to offer you an exclusive discount to unlock an elevated app experience with exclusive features and even more skincare expertise from me, plus so much more. Revolutionise the way you discover, shop and learn about skincare with our multi-award winning app. Download the SkinRocks app for free and sign up to premium with your exclusive code CHPOD, all in caps, to save £10 off your annual subscription. More details in the show notes.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates.
so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Was your mum instrumental in sort of hair and beauty memories of when you were a child?
Yeah.
What are your earliest memories of sort of...
Yeah, so my mum was a hairdresser and like typical kind of white hairdresser salon, shampoo and sets. And I used to go and get pocket money by washing hair, but I actually hated it. Because
right.
I was like, didn't want to wash old ladies' hair
when fair.
I was
young. Fair.
I don't like it.
I don't want to.
Yeah, but my mum was like, wash, this is her. My mum like was a single parent, so she raised me and my sister alone. And she'd go wash her hair because my mum would like make a deal with her that if she washed my hair, that like, she would sew my sequins on my like dance leotards and stuff. So the lovely lady would like, while she's having her hair blown,
be sitting sewing.
So like my costume would be done by the end of the day because wow. between everyone, that was my mum's way of multitasking. So that was my mum's, it was called Champers. And
oh
that
God.
Was my mum's salon. And
where is this?
This is in Essex, right. in Collier Row. And I don't think it's there anymore. I think it changed hands a few times afterwards. But that was like my mum's kind of hub. And I would go and get tips and, you know, sweep the floor and that kind of stuff. And then my mum used to sort of try loads of different things out. And there wasn't, you know, goodness me, compared to now, the stuff yeah. that was on the shelf for my hair type was, I mean, there just wasn't anything. And my mum would have to like drive from Essex to another side of London where the yep. community was probably a little bit more diverse where we yep. could find products for me.
That wasn't in a pharmacy behind a lock and key.
Correct. Exactly that. So my mum used to put fabric conditioner.
Oh my God.
I mean, I used to smell amazing. I mean, I'm not sure. I didn't get a rash, but I don't know what the allergens would look like now. She used to put fabric conditioner and warm water in like a garden spray pump. And literally that's what my hair care regime was because someone had told it, you know, someone had told her that somewhere down the line.
I mean, it is what it's for. It is the positive and the negative charge. So the positive charge of a shampoo as the positive charge of like an aerial or a fairy,
yeah.
the negative charge is your conditioner
yeah.
and the negative charge is your fabric conditioner. That's why if you don't use fabric conditioner, your skirt sticks to your tights.
Stiff, yeah.
So, I mean, there's science
there's
there.
Science in it and I smelt great. It was like the best leave-in ever.
What about skin? Anything particularly that you remember from being young around skincare? Because people who are into hair care generally will also take care of their
yeah.
skin.
Yeah, yeah. See, my mum wasn't big into skincare, but I just remember her taking me to the body shop. And they did like a cucumber. Mm-hmm. I think I just had like a cucumber toner, but I felt like the girl.
Yeah.
It was like with my cotton
pad.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. That cucumber smell is like really nostalgic to me. But yeah, my mum wasn't actually big on skin. Like she would wash her face with a bar of Dove or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, her skin was great, but
Is she more into it now?
She's that person that will be like, oh, what can I do? I'm looking old. And then I'll try and help her and then the routine won't last. And, oh, it doesn't matter. I'm getting old anyway. What's
the
point?
Fine.
Yeah, exactly. That's my mum to a T.
When did you get into skincare or makeup? Like, when did you go, oh, beauty is a thing?
Well, what's interesting is it definitely wasn't as young as
yeah.
my daughter. But I think...
Thank you, TikTok.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, TikTok. I think probably about 13. Mm. And I don't know if that was perhaps a little sooner than my, like, school friends because... I was in S Club Juniors, so I was kind of around dressing rooms and, you know, I was like, wow, makeup. And because my mum wasn't that fussed by it, when people were, I was like in, like mm-hmm. I found it so exciting. So I'd say probably about 13, I had my little toner, a little moisturiser. And yeah, I just was obsessed with like packaging. I'm walking into a shop and smelling the fragrance on certain products and... Yeah, that's like the weight of my heart.
When did you get into, when did you sort of discover high-end skincare and be like, oh, I could be bougie?
High-end skincare.
When the Saturdays happened and you sort of were more.
Yeah, when I earned my own money.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm still sort of living at home and it feels a bit more disposable income.
But I've got
then,
some spare cash.
But I've got a bit of spare cash. Shopping. And I'm going to go to Space NK, thank you.
Oh, they're going. Ginny's going to love you. Ginny's going to be like, cha-ching. If Space NK haven't had a mention in every single pod.
Because oh, really?
Of, just
really?
Because of the people we're talking to, and invariably it's people I know and friends, and that's where, you know.
But that is like, that. The Space NK has always been like, to me, they're like, wow, okay, I'm going to treat myself to a bit of skincare. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I couldn't really afford, like, you know, a lot of it is super bougie, but, yeah. Like, I'm just going to get one lip balm, I'd be going to Space NK. That's the way my brain works. I'm like, I've got this much money. I'm not going to go somewhere else and get all. Yeah. I could have had a whole regime. I wanted the experience. I just bought the smallest thing
in
the shop.
I want the experience. Thank you so much.
But my love for product is just, you know, that's, I mean, every time I go, I like might as well remortgage my house with the products I love. And then.
What's your current skincare routine?
Current, I love Sarah Chapman. I like the balm. I like anything balmy to take my makeup off. Mm-hmm. So I do that first. And that's one that I'm using at the minute. And I just kind of like that there's a balm in a pump.
Yeah.
So I use that first. And then I'll use, at the minute I was, I don't, is this a thing, by the way? You'll know the answer here. I'm sure you will. When I'm ovulating, sorry, everyone for the room, my skin is freaks out more than it does when I'm actually on. Would that
your
make
hormones
sense?
Are surging.
Right, okay. So, yeah, that would make sense. So I then use SkinCeuticals, the Blemish, the clear one in the tube wash. And then I'll use like a brightening lotion, like a toner, Illumiere. And then I will use, like, depending on if it's morning or night, like a vitamin C, a retinol, but only a couple times a week. And then like a rich moisturiser. But I don't really like to put moisturiser on at night. And I don't know why. I feel like it doesn't react to me very well. I prefer it in the day. If I sleep in a moisturiser, I feel like I wake up and I don't love it.
No.
I don't know why.
Maybe it's the wrong moisturiser.
Maybe. Maybe it is. I feel like that's when I wake up with a little bump if I've slept in something. Maybe it's too heavy.
Maybe. What would you, if your bathroom cabinet's on fire, including makeup, like what's your kind of first thing that comes into your head? Like, okay, I'm going to be really annoyed if I lose this, if I don't have this on me. Or you lose your handbag in a cab and you're like, oh my God, I've lost my.
Oh, I have to balm all day. I'm like, that's my thing. Mm-hmm. If I'm, I don't mind.
You're not the first to say lip balm.
Really? Mm. Yeah. I don't mind being, you know, like powder, like I don't mind being dewy. I love, actually, well, everyone doesn't mind being dewy, do they? But even if I'm a bit shiny, I'd prefer to look like that rather than have a dry lip. So I wouldn't reach for a powder or anything first. It would always be, I love, Sicily have got like a tinted.
You are bougie.
I am, aren't I? I know.
That's so bougie.
I love it too much. The problem is, right, is I get my makeup done for work.
Yeah.
And that's where I say I end up remorse. Every time I get my face done, if she uses something that I love, I keep thinking about it. And then that's what I'll invest in.
That's what you're going
But they last forever. And I just literally, yeah, number 15. Like I've got a little tint to it.
How do you take what you're already doing day to day and then go, I'm going to start another business? Because when I last saw you, you were just about to launch and you looked beautifully frazzled. So you went out, we were doing Stylist Live.
It's like, and
you
real recognises real.
Yeah,
like,
you went out.
She's made an effort, but she's absolutely.
You went out and you were like, I'm Rochelle. But in the green room, you were like, oh, I've got this launch. Yeah. Literally. Yeah. So tell us about the newer brand, not new, but newer.
Yes. So I actively made a decision a few years ago when I.
To have no peace and quiet.
To have no life. No life. when I left my previous management, who are great, I felt that I could look after myself. And I was kind of tired of being told by a middle-aged man what he thought could be a great idea for me. Sips tea. Because I just, like, I'm not a bit of technology that's going to keep coming up with a new software update. Mm-hmm. Like, I know in my bones what is good for me and what I think is a great idea. And I'm kind of, I felt like at a point where I was ready to run with that. And I've been advised by some of the best in the industry over the years. And I'm so thankful for every lesson that they've taught me along the way. Like, I'm really curious as a person. So, like, I've always been the person that will read contracts and want to find out why we don't let a brand, you know, put a big spend behind this, or we pull back. Like, I'm so curious, and I'll like pick things apart. And I just felt like, do you know what? I think I'm ready to have something small. I want, if someone wants to work with me, I want them to be able to pick up the phone. It's not a big corporate firm that they're going to have to go through lots of different people to find out if I want to do it. I want them to go, Rosh, is this for you? And me go, yeah, or no, don't waste their time and work up a deal for months when I actually would never do that, you know? So I went on my own. And then from that day forward, I just made a real conscious effort to, I only want to do stuff that I authentically believe. And do you know what? It's so funny. I did this test with myself. If I was interviewing myself on This Morning, you know, people come and they promote their book or they promote the TV show they're working on. If I could sit there and be like, right, authentically me, I love this and this is why I'm happy about it and this is why I'm passionate. And if I can't do that, I'm out. Yeah. So that's kind of where, that's how I started to really scope out jobs and things I wanted, whether or not I could sell it on the sofa. So I'd almost like pretend that I was in an interview. Talk and I'd be like, nah, I don't believe it.
Am I going to love this or not?
I don't know.
So you clearly love matcha.
I love matcha so much. And that's when I was like, do you know what? It's kind of, it's a bit of a rogue, you know, idea for a celebrity.
I know, when you said matcha, I went, what?
What? It's not a fragrance, or it's not something that's a little bit more obvious, but it's something that I'm really bloody passionate about. Mm. Something that I love and something that I know that I could promote because it's so part of my routine anyway. And it started as a passion project with a friend of mine, Bryony, who is an incredible Pilates instructor. And we kind of would do class together and then grab a matcha. That became our thing. And we would always send each other new links and, you know, a matcha bar that we found that's supposed to be great. And there was just nothing that was like a high grade ceremonial matcha that's for the girlies, that's aesthetically pleasing, that is accessible. So that's where the idea was born. And it was genuinely, it wasn't supposed to be like a fully fledged business. It was supposed to be like a passion project. But being the way I am, and Bryony's equally the same actually, I just got really into it and was like, no, this could be great. This could be amazing. And
what are you going to expand it into?
Where?
Because, no, what are you going to expand it into? Because you could do so much more than just...
Yes. So this year it's going to expand, and we're going to start that by rolling out to different places, which I can't mention yet. Mm-hmm. But as a brand, it's going to expand too, which our whole ethos has really become elevating your daily rituals.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the purpose of the brand.
That could take you anywhere, couldn't it?
Which you can take you anywhere. And that's the beauty of starting something and it being in its infancy is actually that, gosh, what about this? And what, you know, and that's, yeah.
And what about My Little Coco? What's next for that? Global domination. Do you know what I think you are? I think you're the British Jessica Alba.
Oh my gosh, that is the biggest compliment ever.
Oh. Take it.
Although she's just sold Honest, isn't she? And I'm gutted because my favourite blusher is from Honest.
I think she probably just left now, but she did sell. She got a big chunk when they sold.
Yeah,
didn't
good
she?
Good for you, honey.
You
good
go for girl. You. You're doing great,
but
sweetie.
I just really hope they don't discontinue Coral Peach because it's the best blush ever. Selfishly, what's next? We are this summer. We launch a bigger kids range, which actually my daughter has been front and centre.
Big or little daughter?
Big. So she. Wow. So basically there's this whole, and you'll know better than anyone, this TikTok generation, which they're calling the Sephora kids, aren't they?
Yeah.
Which my 11-year-old and her
would
friends
be bang in the middle
really
of it.
Fall into and asking me to buy retinol and hyaluronic acid.
You like, sit down, baby.
I'm like, okay, we need a chat here. And the focus on skincare, like I love the... It promotes that real independence and the self-care. I'm for that. But I just, the focus on it to me is really alarming at that age.
Yeah.
So I kind of really I was like, why don't I give you a project? Like, you're lucky. Like, mummy has access to this, that, and the other. Why don't we make something that you think you and your friends would absolutely love? And then, you know, and the bonus for me is that I've got, like, this incredible focus group that's living under my roof. And also, I think that baby brands and, like, child-centric brands are doing the kids and parents a disservice if they now don't want to shop in that aisle.
Yeah.
Like, they want to go around the corner.
Yeah,
to the,
they want to be in the big aisle.
The drunk elephant and the this, that, and the other. So I'm like, why are we not keeping hold of that audience? Because I'm seeing, you know, I've got three kids and we're all at very, you know, different ages. We're losing that customer. But I'm still worried about what my 10, 11-year-old is putting on their skin.
They like, don't need all those kids. Actives. They don't need they those don't, actives.
Yeah. So for me, I'm like, why don't we do... And even, like, the body, you know, the Sol de Janeiro's of the world, which I love, and I've used that for years, the creams and the... But they're sort of focused on that too. So it's not just skincare, it's body too, and things that are maybe a bit too rich for them or so on and so forth. So I said to her, why don't we have this project where you get to develop a range? How would it look? What sort of things would you want if you were going to do body, you know, you don't want to use the same products. I get it now, even though that I'm like, use my little cocoa forever.
Yeah.
You don't want to use the same as your three-year-old brother. I totally get that. You're having a shower. And I kind of want to send her up to the shower when I'm doing dinner, knowing that she's all right and, you know, she's doing her own thing. So she's kind of developed this range, which I'm so proud of. And I'm proud of her. She's like, she pitched it to Boots. It was the cutest thing you've ever seen. Aww. Like, I was, like, actually embarrassed. Like, my eyes were watering in the meeting. Like, that's my baby up there. And she's so sort of passionate about it. I mean, mind you, she's not taking her own legal calls. She kind of drops the ball there. She's like, I'll do the fun priester. She's basically living the life I want to live.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. You're providing that for her.
Yeah, exactly. But it's kind of, I mean, it's packaged beautifully. It's called Cocoa Hills. It's all sort of based... and that LA kind of Cali vibe.
Nice.
And I just wanted to, like, present parents a range that's like, try this. Your kids are going to love
trust.
It.
That
you know you can trust
without
it.
Without checking an app. Absolutely. Not the Skin Rocks app, by the way.
We love
which
app.
Is available and free.
Yes.
And science-based.
You should get it.
But there are other apps out there that are, I mean, every day it's causing me misery. Every day. I'm like, what have they done? Put spend behind themselves? Why is suddenly everyone aware of them?
Yeah. Well, like, I think there is a lot of that. And I think it's really weird because it's this scaremongering sort of culture.
Selling through fear.
Selling through fear. And that, you're right. That nail on the head, that's exactly what it is. And I think putting certain ingredients on an app, which, you know, can appear super alarming if you don't know the purpose for the ingredient, the percentage that's in the product.
Context. Percentages.
Key. And I think if you're going to, I mean, a lot of these apps, I don't know who bodies them, if it's just a team of web developers, which is scary because then there's no scientific evidence there. Yeah. I don't know the ins and outs of how they work, but I think it takes one person to share it online, to scare somebody. I watched something the other day that basically said that Sudocrem is killing us. You know, a product that's been on the shelf and we've used on our babies for like so many years. I'm like, I know the context because I work in that world.
Yeah.
And, you know.
If you don't and you're just trying to do the best thing for your kids, you're going to be scared.
Yeah.
And I said at a CEW that sort of meeting a couple of weeks ago, I sort of spoke and said, I think what our industry has done to pregnant women is unforgivable.
Yeah.
We have made them terrified of using anything when we know more than anyone, the people in the room know more than anything, what is safe.
And how much red tape, like, brands like us have to go through. And particularly for babies, like, that doesn't, if it's in your trusted retailer, i.e. a Boots or a grocer or however that will look.
Paperwork.
The
checks.
They can't house a brand that has something that's toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are ingredients that maybe people don't have a knowledge on.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what the problem is. And they say, you know, you wouldn't swim in a swimming pool full of that ingredient.
Yeah.
But if the maximum you're allowed is 1%, it's a very different story, and that might be the fact that it's a preservative or, you know, and we've chosen to use preservatives, of course, because you don't want
it to go green.
E. coli on your kids. You know, that's not what this is for. And, you know, I didn't use sulfates and I didn't use parabens. And that was a decision I chose because sulfates are known to be, I'm not saying that they're the devil's work, but they're known to be irritating. And if sensitive skin
certain
and kids.
Ones are,
So, you know, it's just, but it's the background and anything without context can appear really scary. And also the promotion that brands, it's like this whole clean culture, isn't it? And I know I'm going to sort of say.
Well, I was going to say, you're not going to call the new range clean, are you? Because I can feel myself scratching my head.
No, do you know what? I just think that is, I mean, so misleading in terms of a claim. And a claim that's really, like, unless My Little Coco, we use coconut oil. That's what the brand was based around, right? The fact that every product has organic coconut oil in it, right? But I can't say that that is clean because I'm not cracking up a coconut and pouring it onto your skin because it has to go through barriers and have preservatives so that that doesn't...
It has to go through a process so that your skin won't just let it roll off like
water. Exactly that. So I think that is really misleading. So when brands lead with that, I'm instantly out as a person.
Out. Tap. Me yeah. out, done.
Because I know how misleading that is. I'm like, well, what else are you misleading people with? Mm-hmm. You know, that's where my brain goes. But that's because I know. But the me 6 years ago, when I didn't know so much, I probably would have seen that and gone, oh my gosh, I can't use Pseudocrem anymore on my baby.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. It's
and
really
I get asked all the time by well-meaning people, you know, they send me reels on Insta or on TikTok and it's just, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? I can't keep responding. You know what I'm going to think of it. So please don't ask me because you know.
Yeah.
You know my stance. If you follow me for longer than 5 minutes, you know I'm going to go, they're talking shite. Mm-hmm. Please relax. Don't worry.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just...
And the reports that, like, a brand would have to have, and I can only compare it to my own, and I'm sure yours would be the same. You know, the toxicologists have, you know, the board of... What's the one? It's like
SES. I mean, there's just everything. Yeah. You have to have pack testing,
consumer
stability
safety.
Testing, everything.
And we do it. We do extra patch tests that are our sensitive skin panel. You know, the list is endless. And I just think it's a scary world. But I do think we are in that world. I think social media is, you know, as you can debunk a lot of stuff, which I know that you do, but I think...
But you have to debunk stuff that's become something because of social media.
Yeah.
So it's a vicious circle.
And somebody's found a kind of report in the depths of the internet that actually...
That was probably sponsored by someone who can benefit financially of the report saying what it says.
I know. That's the thing with those... Well, not yours. With some of those apps is that actually brands can pay to have a good rating.
Yeah.
Which I suppose tells you... A lot you need to know, doesn't it?
Not with us.
Not with you, girl.
You've got no chance.
Not with you. Yeah.
So you've got a busy year ahead.
Yes. I say that with that.
Not much going on.
Do you know what? I've got a big launch in the summer.
Right.
And then
in what? A brand or like telework or something
as
else?
Like the summer is quite big for Cloudtree in terms of like different partners.
Right,
that we're
okay.
Not products just yet, but partners that we're now sort of rolling out with. Alaya's big range also drops in June, which is big for the brand.
Yeah.
And then after that, I've kept the rest of the year. I was like, I just want to sort of elevate everything I have. You know, I don't want to do another this. Mm-hmm. I just want to sort of really get behind everything equally. So that's kind of my, ethos for the rest of the year.
You know you're going to start something else the minute July comes around.
I just don't put ideas.
I'm
going to
send you pictures of Jessica Albion going, there she is.
She's got the right idea now though.
She has now. She's like, I'm out. I'm She's done. Like, I've done my time. I'm out.
Yeah, put me on my yacht somewhere.
Well, here's to a yacht in a few years' time.
Oh gosh.
Further down the road.
I'll borrow yours.
Don't worry about that, mate.
I'll borrow yours.
I'll be dead by then. Thank you so much
for
joining us.
Thank
and thanks
you so
for
much.
I love hearing the anything that's vaguely entrepreneurial, I'm like
Me too.
I'm
me
like,
too.
Come on.
I'm in. And I just quite like to know that when I talk to people in the same realm and in the same world that we're all equally as tired. We're equally winging
Everyone's tired.
We're winging it and we're just sort of...
White-knuckling it, I described last week. I was like, I'm white-knuckling this week. I can't do it. I'm exhausted.
Shut your eyes and hope for the best.
Yeah, you're like, everything will be fine. What could be supposed to go wrong? And then your alarm goes off 3 minutes later and you're like, did I sleep?
Yeah, no, I didn't. I don't think so.
Well, I will watch with wonder and look forward to what you're launching.
Me too. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
You can hear much more from our chat this Wednesday, so make sure you tune in. Send your questions to pod@carolinehirons.com. Until then, I'm glad we had this chat.
New episodes are available every Monday and Wednesday. Follow or subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Glad We Had This Chat is produced by Wall to Wall Media.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.